In the name of God, the Holy Trinity. Amen. Please be seated. So thank you to Betsy for reading that long first lesson today. We read the story of creation from Genesis 1 once every 3 years. Today's the day. It is longer than our usual readings, but to be fair, 34 and a half verses is not really that long when you consider the scope of work. Please do not get hung up on the number of days or on how long a day is in the eternity of God. This is poetry, not science. Genesis 1 describes for us a vast and varied creation that emerged over time, every single part made and named and desired and beloved of God. By day 3, when different forms of life emerged on land, God saw that it was good. The Hebrew word for good is tov. And by day 6, the creation of humankind in the image of God, God saw that it was all very good. Tov ma'od. You, my friends, are tov ma'od. Extra, extra good in the sight of God. We read about creation today because this day proclaims our understanding of the God who made all things. Today is Trinity Sunday, one of my favorite Sundays in the church year, the only Sunday in the church year devoted to a doctrine. The concept of the Trinity emerged after most of the Bible was written, so only a few of the scriptures describe it, but it is central to who we are. Like our Jewish ancestors, early Christians experienced God as creator, source of all that is. Like a loving parent, God had guided people along the way. God set people free. God sent Jesus to reveal the reign of God in this world. And so they called God Father. Early Christians had also seen God in Jesus. Jesus was human, but he acted like God. He had God's power of life. He spoke with God's wisdom. He demonstrated God's compassion. When he died, God affirmed the work of Jesus by raising him from the dead. And as early Christians reflected on Jesus, they realized that he had shown them what God was like more fully than any other person or experience or moment in history. He was so much like God that Jesus realized God had been present in him, and they called him Son of God. John's gospel also called him Word, like the Word of God that spoke everything into being. And then there was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit hovered over the waters of creation. The Spirit enlivened the prophets. The Spirit had been around for a long time. But the Spirit's arrival on the day of Pentecost made it clear that God intended to stay with creation in this ongoing way. And so the Spirit was also God. And for a few centuries, the church argued about how to put it all together. Judaism had held very tightly to belief in one God, and so it was hard for a faith that came from Judaism to speak of God in 3 ways. Some felt that describing Jesus and the Spirit as co-equal with the Father might somehow diminish the fullness of God. In the early 300s, a priest named Arius began to teach that Jesus was created by God and the Spirit came from Jesus. And this long theological fight ensued with different groups taking different sides. But a clear doctrine of God in 3 persons soon became the favored position of the church. The creeds, which we still recite today, were a way of teaching and solidifying the doctrine of the Trinity in human hearts. Jesus is eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. Hard to be more clear than that. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit is worshiped and glorified. Now, in recent years, many have noted, obviously, that God is not male. God is beyond human, beyond our human categories. The scriptures say both men and women are made in God's image. And so the language of Father and Son does not quite do justice to the fullness of God. But Christians throughout the world have not yet agreed on better language. And so even though it's not quite accurate, most still say Father and Son and Holy Spirit to honor our unity with the rest of the Christian world. These three members of the Trinity are distinct but one. They are separate persons, separate identities, alike and different, dwelling together in a bond of infinite love. One is not more important than the others. One is not lesser than the others. They cannot exist apart from one another. They are co-equal, co-eternal, co-powerful, mutually indwelling all the time. In other words, God is a diversity, and God is a relationship. God is not merely loving, God is love. And our faith says the universe emerged from this God. Precisely how it happened or how long it took is not the point. Everything that is came from the voice and power and hand of the God we know as Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Source, Word, and Spirit, a God who is a diversity created a diverse and fruitful world. A God who is a relationship created a world that requires relationship to function. So when we embrace and delight in our differences, we are acting in union with God, the diversity. When we fear or disparage difference, we are spitting in God, the diversity's face. When we recognize our interdependence and participate in giving and receiving life, we are walking in the ways of God, the relationship. When we go it alone, when we try to dominate or control, when we abuse our power or take more than we give, we are opposing God, the relationship. We are made in the image of the triune God. Life works best for us and for all when we embrace our differences and act with mutual love because we come from the Trinity. And these truths are true for the whole world. But if someday sentient life is ever discovered elsewhere in the universe, I trust these truths will still apply. All life of any kind depends on diversity and relationship because it all comes from the same source. And that which applies to the whole universe also applies here at home. It is very hard to believe this, but we will soon celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This bold document 250 years ago led to the birth of our nation. It was a vision board for who we said we would be in the world. And of course, from the start, we didn't fully live up to these words. The founders left out the female half of the population and allowed slavery to persist. Their biases have led to a lot of harm, which has yet to be fully lamented and healed. But this vision of equality is still worth celebrating. And so over the next few weeks at St. Thomas, we will celebrate it. We're quoting the Pledge of Allegiance and calling this series "With Liberty and Justice for All." Emphasis on all, because that's what we promise. I love our country, and I know you do too. It is a blessing to love where you live. But on this day and all days, we remember that our identity as Trinitarian Christians comes first. above any national pride or identity. Our knowledge of God as Trinity shapes what Christians hope our nation will be. A godly nation will embrace differences and act with mutual care and be a force of love, because that is who God is. And so let us acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and worship the unity. Amen.